This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on this Tuesday evening. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We're live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It's U.S. Open week. Stanley Cup Final gets back on the ice on Thursday night. NBA Finals back at it tomorrow night. Before we get to our guest, Matt, let's update the folks on what's happening at Kauffman Stadium. Patrick Mahomes is in attendance, and he just watched Aaron Judge absolutely obliterate a baseball off of Noah Cameron. 469 feet to left field, and a good start for the best bet from Adam Burke, which was over 2.5 runs in the first five for the New York Yankees. That was an absolute bomb from Aaron Judge.
It certainly was. Let's get to Jeff Sherman, because we got a lot to get to tonight with the Westgate Superbook odds maker.
Let's do it. At Golf Odds is where you can find him on social media. VP of Risk over at the Superbook here in town. And before we get to the golf, let's start a little NBA. Where are you guys at for this game, Jeff? And what's your feel heading into this game three? How vital is it for the Pacers to get this win if they want to have any shot of winning the NBA title?
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's a must win for them. And we open this Thunder 5. And initially took some Pacer support to get to 4.5, but now it's been driven up past the 5, and we're sitting at Oak City 5.5 with liability on that side. So a lot of action on this for early action, a lot more than we've seen in games 1 and 2. I think that now that people have seen a couple games, they're more inclined to get involved early. So a handle on this one will exceed the first two games.
Well, you've been a more of an OKC backer, I would say, throughout the playoffs. Do you think the Thunder are going to roll over the Pacers, or do you think this is going to be a situation where they split in Indiana and then go back to OKC for game five?
I actually think the Thunder are going to win the next three.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be easy in all of them, but I think that they'll come away with it. And I think there might be more to Halliburton's injury than he led on to today and said he's fine. With the limp that he had after the last game, you know, we've taken in the player prop market sharp money under Halliburton 17.5 points and over on Siakam, over on Turner, over on Nesmith. So sharp respect thinking that Halliburton's point production is going to lead to other players' point production being higher. So lack of point production by Halliburton.
How do you deal with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the prop market too, Jeff? Because, again, he's been pretty much unstoppable by the Pacers in the first couple games.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting at 34.5 for his points, and right now we're getting two-way on that one. And yeah, it's more than I thought he'd do. I mean, it's such a big number to go over. And, you know, he's showing why he got voted MVP this year with what he can do. He just can't be stopped. And especially that mid-range shot, you know, there's very few players that you can say when he shoots it, I have confidence and that's a good shot. And I totally feel that way with him. When there's a lot of other players, I'm like, oh, please don't shoot. You expect it to be a poor shot. But with him, there's, you know, he's such a solid shooter from that mid-range shot.
Headed into game three on Wednesday night in Indiana, series tied at 1, and Pacers 5.5 point underdogs at home, total 228.5. Jeff, any thoughts from you on the total and how that's going to be bet on Wednesday night?
Well, it's close to what it ended last game. So right now, initially, we're seeing some under support, but sitting at 220.5, it was a pretty easy one to make just because of what we've seen out of the first two games. So I think ultimately, when it gets closer to game time, the public will play the over, but initially, we've seen some under support.
Jeff Sherman, once again, hanging with us here. Jeff, where were you guys on this pre-series? Did a lot of folks take the series spread? I know you mentioned you think that Oklahoma City will win the next three. I'm hopeful that that is happening because I laid 2.5 games with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Where are you guys from a liability standpoint at this point heading into game three tomorrow night?
Yeah, we have liability on the Pacers, and we had, you know, we closed Thunder minus 750 and Pacers plus 550 for the series. And you know, at a price like that, you see very few people lay it before the series. So it was mostly Pacers money added up. But then after their game one win, when it got adjusted to minus 330, we saw even more Pacers support. And that you would think with the must-win spot for Oklahoma City going to game two is bad timing to bet it at that spot with an 11-point favorite needing to win. And just winning the game would increase the price like we see now. So we took a lot of support on the Pacers after game one, but I didn't expect to see that just because of the timing aspect.
Looking forward to this one on Wednesday night, game three, Thunder at Pacers, 5.5, 228.5. And you guys have said, I think it's very important for the Pacers to get at least one and probably game three in Indiana. All right, Jeff Sherman, Westgate Superbook odds maker with us on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Golf Odds. Jeff, let's talk some golf. The year's third major is here at Oakmont Country Club, the U.S. Open. It's going to be an extremely tough test for these guys. Rory McIlroy wins the Masters. Scottie Scheffler wins the PGA. I would assume you expect an elite player of that that caliber to win this week at the U.S. Open because the conditions are going to be so tough.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back looking at the last six majors. Shoffley went in twice last year, too. And you've seen elite players, the top, six or seven guys on the odds board come through the last six majors. So, it's tough to find that needle in the haystack if you're, especially with the way Scotty is running right now, winning by a margin, not just winning and winning tight. So it's going to be tough. I discounted McIlroy a bit. He's at the highest point that he's been since it started last December at 14-1 now. Coming off his poor performance up in Canada. But Scotty, number one in ticket count, number one in money wagered. Bryson right behind him at plus 750, getting a lot of support too. And then after that, good luck finding it after that. I took some flyers myself, but it's tough when Scotty's involved in a tournament.
Once again, Jeff Sherman at Golf Odds is where you can find him on social media. I'm looking at your matchups you've got over at the Westgate. I'm curious about Rory McIlroy and John Rahm. Matt has alluded to it. Doesn't feel like Rory's in the best of form. Obviously, it was pretty terrible last week up at the Canadian Open. Have you seen any action on that particular matchup right now? You've got Rory plus 125 and Rahm minus $1.45.
Yeah, I opened at minus 50 plus 30 and got a little bit of dog support there on Rory. And that's one of the matchups that I played myself elsewhere was Rahm minus 135 against Rory. And just from what I've seen from Rory, this isn't exactly the place to go find your game coming off of what we saw from him. So it's I think it's going to be a tough go for him just to jump back and get to that status that we'd seen him, Masters and prior.
27 golfers have finished under par in nine previous U.S. Opens at Oakmont. Par 70, 7,372 yards. Jeff, this is a really unique course because you don't have any water or penalty areas. You're going to have very thick rough, really thick rough, and the greens are going to be blazing fast here. 168 bunkers on the course. Do you like this Oakmont course, and what do you expect the winning score to be?
I love it. I love to see the rare opportunity for these guys to get tested like this. This is the toughest course that we see when they play a U.S. Open. I set the winning score at 1.5 under par, 278.5. Initially, we saw some under support. Now we're starting to see a little bit of over support. So we're under minus 140 over plus 120. I think it's going to be right there. In 2016, Dustin Johnson won at 4 under, but the next group of golfers was 1 under. So, we might see one golfer exceed that, but it might be tough to even do that with the conditions out there. And I love, there's so many courses on tour right now. These guys blaze out at 20 under or even deeper that this is a week to relish in and enjoy.
Jeff, you mentioned 2016 U.S. Open at Oakmont. The 54-hole leader that year was Shane Lowry. He led by 4 strokes. So he ended up finishing second. Lowry is on my card this week. I know he's on yours as well. Go ahead and give us a rundown of what you have bet.
Well, I supported Bryson at 9-1. He's won two U.S. Open since 2020. Played 15th here in 2016, so has some course knowledge. Been playing top five golf in the last few months. So I thought going at the top, he'd be the guy to select for myself. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, Lowry, I played at 35. I got involved with Sepp Straka at 50-1, more so for his year that he's had, his form this year, than his course form. And then one of the ones I like the best is Harris English. I played at 150-1. has had a fantastic season. And if you look at his U.S. Open record out of the last 5 years, eighth, third, and fourth. So he's got three top tens. And he played this in 2016, finishing 37th. So having seen the course, I think is going to help him too. So for a longer shot, and I played him in a matchup against Jason Day, I played him for first round leader at 65-1 too.
I was going to ask you that because I know for the majors, you put up the first round leader markets. Harris English, I thought, was one worth playing. I don't know about Joaquin Niemann. Any other players like that that you would consider in the first round leader market, which is kind of a crapshoot. But again, there are guys we've talked about like Keith Mitchell who have a track record of getting off to hot starts in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, we saw how it went for Justin Rose at the Masters when a lot of people were on him because of the way he played there. But, you know, just the way it's been going for me this year, like last week I was on Taylor Pendrith and he got off to a hot start. Wasn't the first round leader, but early in the morning session, he was up there and had a chance. And so I just wanted to support one of my longer shots, and I went with English on this one. Other than that, like you said, it's a crapshoot because we're starting at Scotty at 12-1 and up on there. And it's just, it's such a difficult market, but I just went with one of my longer shots that I think can contend early. And he's got an early morning tee time too.
At Golf Odds is where you can find Jeff on social media, VP of Risk over at the Westgate Superbook. Jeff, always appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he is. Jeff Sherman giving us the latest from the Westgate Superbook on the U.S. Open. Let's update folks on what's going on across baseball. Also, bottom of the hour, more insight from behind the counter. Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook talking U.S. Open with us. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on a Tuesday evening. Thanks to Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook for joining us. He said he believes it won't be easy, but the Thunder, in his eyes, win the next three games of the NBA Finals. He also has some bets that he has in pocket. Bryson, he got at 9-1. Shane Lowry, 35-1. That is a bet that you have as well. Sepp Straka, 50-1. Harris English, 150-1. He also has Harris English first round leader and Harris English in a matchup against Jason Day. So he's heavy on Harris English heading into this.
Well, he's a guy I like in this term as well. A lot of handicappers I know like Harris English. The problem is at 150-1, the Jet bet, that's long gone. Even the 85-1 that was here at Circa is gone. Now it's down to around 60-65-1. Harris English is a guy I will consider betting as a first-round leader, though. I'm going to look at, you know, you take a shot at a couple of these first-round leader bets. Joaquin Niemann, Harris English, maybe somebody like even somebody like Sam Burns. There's, you know, like I said, it's a bit of a crapshoot, but there are some guys who have a track record in the history of getting off to fast starts, and those are a few players you could look at there.
We'll talk much more about the U.S. Open coming up in less than 15 minutes. Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook will join us. We'll also check in with Steve Sands live from the Oakmont Country Club there in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. Matt, it's also worth noting that our colleagues, Matt Eumanns, Kelly Bidlin and Wes Reynolds have put out the Long Shots podcast this week. I was having a hard time spitting it out. No Matt Brown this week on the podcast, and write-ups galore over at vsin.com. Plenty of bets as well. So stick towards vsin and vsin.com for all of your U.S. Open coverage, Matt.
How about Justin Rose?
How about it?
Well, I bet him in Masters. I bet him in the Masters. Ooh. 125-1. And he was up there at the top for 4 days, lost in a playoff. I was able to hedge going into the playoff, which is a big help. But not much talk about Justin Rose going into this. And he has won a U.S. Open before. Is he worth a shot? I'm trying to look at the updated number here at Circa. It's 145-1 on the sheet. Probably a little bit higher. I assume he's not drawing much action. He might be a candidate for a first round leader bet or maybe even a bet to win. I like players like that, Tim, who slide under the radar a little bit and get forgotten, but they're still playing really good golf, and Justin Rose is playing good golf, even though since the Masters he hasn't been great. He was really good that week, and he has been good in U.S. Opens in the past.
Scrolling through the app right now, seeing if I can grab where Justin Rose would be
at. Bet number is 35040.
He is at 180-1.
I'll take a shot on that. Why not? Right?
I mean, but I mean, you put $10 on him. That's 1,800. So
that's a player who probably should have won the Masters, and you're getting at 180-1. He's got a good track record in the U.S. Open, so. You know, as a matter of fact, at the next commercial break, I might go down and bet that.
Yeah, and as always, if you have the opportunity to bet at number of outs, Circa, 180-1, DraftKings, 110-1. So always worth looking around. You had mentioned also that Harris English, where was he at here at Circa? He was down at like 60.
Was 85, now I think down to 60.
He's 80-1 here at Circa, 100-1 at DraftKings. So
Harris English?
Harris English, right now, 80-1.
All right. Well, that's still a decent number.
Yeah, 35025 here at Circa. So lots of U.S. Open bets. And once again, live from the U.S. Open, Steve Sands in hour number two. Quick update, Matt, from Major League Baseball. Mentioned it before we welcomed on Jeff Sherman that Aaron Judge, a 469-foot homer off of Noah Cameron in the first inning, and that gave him his 24th home run of the season already for the New York Yankees, and they lead 2-1. The Royals able to get on the board. Jack Cagliano, thinking about the College World Series just a year ago, he was there representing Florida, and now he's playing for the Kansas City Royals. I believe this is second or third game? He's been up for a little bit here. No, much more than that. This is his seventh game.
It's only his second RBI.
Yeah, but his second RBI there for Jack Cagliano there, the former Florida Gator. And Juan Soto got the best of Mackenzie Gore and was yapping a little bit around the base paths. His 12th home run of the season. He struck out against Mackenzie Gore, who he was traded for just a couple of years ago from the San Diego Padres, from the Nationals to the Padres. So a strikeout for Gore and a home run for Soto so far. If you're keeping up tabs on Mackenzie Gore, that strikeout prop was 6.5, and he is at 5 strikeouts. He had gone over the 6.5 strikeout prop in his last 7 starts. He is the now major league leader in strikeouts with his 5 strikeouts here tonight as he has surpassed Garrett Crochet. But a good one brewing there in New York. 3-2 is the score right now, top of the 5th inning. The Cincinnati Reds, Matt, trying to make it 5 in a row. They lead 1-0 over the Cleveland Guardians. That one headed to the 8th inning there in Cleveland, and a series that should be a pretty fun one. The Chicago Cubs and the Philadelphia Phillies. Cubs right now up 3-2, the leaders in the NL Central taking on the leaders in the NL East. I think they're in second place in the NL East. Yeah, the Phillies are 4 back of the New York Mets. So fun ones across all of Major League Baseball here this evening. And our game of the night still to come. Padres taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, there was a game tonight. I actually thought about laying a big number. I thought about playing a round robin tonight and throwing the Astros on it against the White Sox. Lance McCullers, since that ridiculously bad start against the Reds on May 10th, has been pretty good. I mentioned he's got 27 strikeouts over the last 16 innings. His past 3 starts, he gave up 7 runs in the first inning against the Reds on May 10th. Since then, he's been good. And I considered actually playing him tonight. Just on those round robins, sometimes you can play a little bit bigger favorites if you play threes and fours. And I thought about doing that with the Astros tonight. Ended up not playing anything on the baseball card. But that was one big favorite. I thought that, man, if there's a big favorite that's going to come through tonight, who's going to be? And I thought probably the Astros would be a really good bet.
How about this stat from our friend Evan Abrams over at the Action Network? We've had him on the show a bunch of times talking trends. He does a great job unearthing those trends. We had him on right before the NBA Finals. This from Evan Abrams. In the last 40 years, Matt, there have been 25 golfers with a plus 275 or shorter odds to win a major. Scottie Scheffler once.
Tiger 24 times. Yeah. How many of those 25 actually won the tournament?
I'm sure Tiger won a couple of them.
Did he mention that?
No, he didn't mention that. Not in this tweet. I should you know, Evan's always such a great guy to get on prior to big time events, but 24 times Tiger was at plus 275 or shorter. How many times, I got to ask you, I'm putting you on the spot. Mm-hmm. How many times do you think you went against Tiger when he was insanely short?
I have no idea. I honestly don't remember. That's 20 some years ago.
Yeah. The peak of his powers.
Back then, there was such a fear factor in betting against Tiger Woods. You felt like he was going to win every major.
I mean,
right now, just think about Scottie Scheffler. There's a similar fear factor. You know, you don't want to play too many long shots this week in the U.S. Open because you say, what if it's all for naught? Scottie Scheffler just wins this thing by, you know, four strokes. That's why you got to bet some top fives, top tens, top 20s with these players as well. But I don't recall. I think there were a couple times I did bet against I did bet the no price on Tiger, but not too often.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty wild to see the number out there on Scottie Scheffler. And at the PGA Championship, Matt, you had an opportunity to get a pretty good price after the first round. And yeah. And ultimately, it was an inevitability as Scottie Scheffler won
and that's an important PGA point to make, Tim, because I'm not going to run and bet plus 295, or I think that's what is that
3-1, I think, is what we were at. Maybe it's a little higher now.
Well, 299. plus 299 is so the current price.
It moved from 3-1 down to 299.
Can't even give you 3-1. Got to give you plus 299. I'm not going to bet that because Scotty typically doesn't get off to the hot first round starts. You know, he'll be 4 or 5 strokes back, 3 back, whatever. I feel like you have to wait, see if he gets off to a slow start. Maybe get up. Who knows if you can grab 5-1 or higher on Scheffler. That would be what I'm looking to do this week. I'm kind of taking the same approach with Bryson DeChambeau. I don't want to take 7-1 or plus 750 on DeChambeau. But I did bet him top 5, and then I'll wait to bet him on the futures board if I can get, you know, a little bit better number after the first or second round. We're going to have Sam Cooney, Circus Sports Golf Oddsmaker, on the show Thursday night and Friday night, talking about the adjusted odds board after the first round and the second round of the tournament. Indy Jeff Seeley is going to be on the show Friday night as well, so plenty of golf talk. You don't have to get all your bets in before the tournament starts on Thursday. You're going to have plenty of options, and you can get in on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. That's what's so great about betting golf tournaments like this. If you're not sure what to do with Scottie Scheffler, Tim, you don't have to bet him before the tournament starts on Thursday.
Well, let's hear more about Scottie Scheffler, how much money is coming in at DraftKings Sportsbook. We'll find that out on the other side of the break. But, folks, if you're ready to get in on the action, how about FirstBet? They've got you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and use the promo code VSIN200.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here. Busy night ahead. Steve Sands in hour number 3 live from the Oakmont Country Club to give us his thoughts on the U.S. Open. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Bunch of baseball going on. We'll hold off on those updates as we've got a good guest lined up on the line. Our good friend Matt Grill from the DraftKings Sportsbook joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. And Matt, before we jump into the U.S. Open, which we're going to focus on pretty extensively here with you, you guys do have a couple new college football betting markets out. You have your to make or miss two-way market on the college football playoff, which is always an interesting topic of discussion, and a couple of new markets. You have to win 10 games out there, but I'll just focus on to make or miss the playoffs. Anything of note come across your desk from that betting standpoint, as you guys do have that two-way market out there, so you could bet the no price. About 8 teams are favored at DraftKings to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, hey, Tim. Hey, Matt. As you mentioned, Tim, to make the CFP, we've got those odds out now and a couple other competitive prices out there in the market. So fun to see those popping up and build a bet on. And, you know, these are always a really fun and popular market that people like to see, just because obviously to win the whole shebang is a little bit tough. So some people like to focus on the 12 teams that are going to make the playoff. And as you mentioned, we've got about 8 teams favored to make it. You're Fighting Irish amongst them. I think we're the shortest of them to make it. Really like their chances here to get into the playoff. I think we're sitting minus 190 right now with I think, a pretty reasonable, manageable schedule other than those couple tough games against A&M and the opener against the Canes. So that's going to be a fun one to track all year. And then, yeah, some of our shorter ones, of course, out there. No surprise, Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, teams like that are going to be in the minus side of things to make the playoff. We're going to see a lot of the familiar faces there, I think, when we get to the end of the year. You know, what's going to be really fun, though, is are we going to have another Indiana? That could be the big storyline. Last year, of course, they got into the playoff with Kurt Cignetti. So they were 100-1 to make the playoff when we released these last year. So we got hit on that pretty good. Other than that, we did pretty good in this market, but that one definitely stung. So it's going to be really exciting to see if we can have another kind of long shot out of nowhere sneak in this year.
Well, it might be a little bit easier to make the playoff this year. How do you, when you talk about another Indiana, what teams do you think might be comparable to Indiana this year? Let's see if there is an Indiana out there. Who is it?
You know, Matt, the one I'm personally looking to bet, I haven't really gone shopping around yet until some of these other books open up with it. Why not Georgia Tech? Mm. This is a team who is on the up and up, Payne's king at QB, like to pull the upset, you know, should have beaten Georgia arguably last year, many times over the 8 overtime thriller. That team, you know, the ACC is weak, you know, outside of Miami and Clemson. So that's one I like to sneak in there potentially. We got them 5-1 to make the playoffs. So I can't wait to go shopping out there in the market on that one.
Hey, look at Haynes King. I'll mm-hmm. toss it to you, man. Yeah. Phil Steele's put out his magazine. He has Georgia Tech with the 6th best quarterback room. So agreeing a bit there with Matt Grill with the return of Haynes King. Also, Aaron Filo, the backup who got some play last year. But I know, Matt, U.S. Open on the front of mind, and Mr. Grill is a big golf bettor as well. Yeah. So fire away, sir.
Let's get to it. By the way, Phil Steele's magazine, I believe, came out yesterday, right?
Yes, it did.
Digital magazine. I just picked up Athlon Sports, reading some college football previews as well. Matt Grill, odds maker of DraftKings Sportsbook with us. And Grill, let's talk some golf. You just went on a golf vacation. You're going out to play tomorrow. You're firing bets on the U.S. Open. Tell us, first of all, are you taking what you would consider sharp action? Where are you taking the sharper action on the U.S. Open, either on the futures board, on matchups, or on props?
Yeah, we're looking forward to this week for a while, Matt. And, you know, we're at Oakmont this week, first time since 2016. And, you know, the big question looming is it going to be a massacre out there? Are we going to see a winning score that's over par? And I think it's potentially out there. I think we've got our winning score prop right now, right around 278.5, that would equate to -1.5. And, mm-hmm. you know, if we can figure out what Scottie Scheffler going to shoot, you know, that's maybe where it lands. So this guy just he's form fit for this course, doesn't make mistakes, doesn't make big numbers. But, you know, with a course playing this tough, with a rough like this, 5-inch rough, and I think the real equalizer is going to be these glass tabletop greens, huge greens. They've been rolling some of them up to 16 on the stimp. So, you know, no one is definitely immune, I think, to a big score here on any hole. So, you know, Scottie Scheffler, 41st in the U.S. Open last year. We came in probably just as hot here. But the biggest favorite we've seen in the U.S. Open sitting here at just under 3-1 of anyone since Tiger. And, yeah, it wouldn't be a big surprise if he didn't win, probably. But there's others out there who can do it. And we've taken a lot of money on Bryson DeChambeau. No surprise there. Won the U.S. Open twice and then last year. And is performing well in all the majors now, has improved his game since he went to live. So surprisingly, he's actually above average in accuracy. That's going to be probably more important than his distance this week. He's a good putter, a little bit of a concern. He's got new irons, you know, never know how that's going to work out. He's got to control those wedges. Always seems to have trouble with the distance control on those, but I think he's really going to be a factor. And then, you know, lots of people, sharper people like in John Rahm this week, again, an elite driver, which you're going to need this week. He's won a US Open before. So that's why he's moved ahead as a favorite, but the third favorite ahead of Rory McIlroy. And speaking of Rory, you know, I think I'm trusting his game a bit more, guys, to get back to form this week. The big question is he going to find that driver? It's been gone since he won the Masters. You know, but with him drifting out there about 13-14-1, I think he's worth a shot still. He's got 8 straight top tens, I believe it is, at the U.S. Open. He's always in contention there. So many heartbreaking close calls the last few years. He's going to want to get one of those back this time around, get that second U.S. Open under his belt. So I just figure if you don't take Rory, he ends up winning it. Matt, we're going to be kicking ourselves saying, why didn't we take Rory McIlroy when we're being given a 13 or 14-1? So I haven't taken him yet, but think I'm pretty close to here the next day or two before it tees off.
I am not going to bet Rory. Just watching his press conferences, he looks like he accomplished his major goal. completing the Grand Slam, and he's kind of lost the edge. He even said he's not grinding on the range as much as he was before. And he looked sloppy last week in Toronto. But I understand what you're saying. Once you get up to 14-1, you're thinking about, all right, maybe now he's worth a shot, but I'm probably going to pass on Rory. And like you say, Matt, you put up you put up live odds and adjusted odds on these markets. Rory doesn't often get off to a fast start. And you might be able to get a better number on Rory after the first round or at some point during the tournament. I'm going to pass on him pre-tournament. It's just you don't want to bet too many players. We were talking with Jeff Sherman. He's got a, I would say, reasonable list on his card. I think he bet about six players on the futures board. You've always got a pretty deep card, kind of like Wes Reynolds. How many have you bet here? how many have you bet so far this week? And let's see who's on your card.
Yeah, Matt, sometimes you want to get those couple extra guys on your card, especially in the U.S. Open. You're going to be sitting there watching it for 72 plus hours in a row. So I want to have a chance with some other guys. And I've only got three right now. I bet Bryson about a month ago when he was doing well at the PGA. So I've got a ticket on him about double the current odds. So really happy there. Then guys who've been in the mix every single week, Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka. Okay. So some of the straighters, drivers of the ball. See, this isn't a 7,500 behemoth. It's about 7,350 in measurement yards. So I think they can get the ball out there far enough. Two of the elite iron guys, iron players out in the tour right now, this year especially. Shane Lowry was second here back in 2016, and he's playing the best golf of his life. So those two guys around 40-50 to 1, I think are definitely worth a shot. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, get some other guys further down in odds on the card. It gets tougher. Our old boy Cameron Young, he was in contention last week. Of course, bogeyed the last hole. But his quotes, I think there's some promise here. He said he's playing some of the better golf of his life, so sometime – with him around 100 or so to one, might be worth a shot. Another guy, Harris English, proven in these U.S. Opens and longer tracks, a winner this year as well. So like him, maybe up around that triple digit mark or just below. But my perspective list, I'm just looking about 10 guys. I've got the three. It's either going to be Rory or some of those other guys that I just mentioned there. You know, lots of guys like Joaquin Niemann as well, went in his last live event again last week, but he's only got one top 15 in majors, which he just finally achieved the last major at the Masters. So I'm probably going to stay away from him until he's got a little bit more of a track record. So again, I think it's pretty slim pickings this week, guys. I think the list of players that can win is very short.
What do you think the winning score is going to be? Actually, before you get to that, I'll mention that I did bet Cameron Young here right before the show. It was a small bet, but a 115-1. I played Cameron Young and Matt Fitzpatrick at 125-1, just a couple of bombs. And we were talking about Joaquin Niemann earlier in the show. Harris English as well, very popular player this week. Let's say Scottie Scheffler doesn't run away with this. What do you think the winning score is going to be? The prop is a 1.5 under.
Oh, man, it's tough, guys. I think with Scottie in there, you probably have to go, it's going to go under that, meaning that it's going to be a couple more under par. Not many, maybe just like 2 or 3 under par wins this thing. But you take him out of the equation, I'd probably say this over pars, because this is probably the toughest U.S. Open venue that's out there. You look at this course and it seems pretty unassuming, but, no trees, no water, but, the defense is, of course, as greens I mentioned, that thick rough, and there's, I believe, 168 bunkers on this course. So it really penalizes you if you miss your spot to get up and down, so especially with these fast greens. So it's going to be a fun week of the U.S. Open. Can't wait to watch.
He's Matt Grill, trading manager of DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt, always appreciate it, sir, and hit him straight tomorrow.
I'll try. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Matt.
There he is, Matt Grill, joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. We got a best bet home from Adam Burke. We'll tell you how next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening. Thanks to Matt Grill. Apparently, Matt Newman's, all odds makers have to think alike because Jeff Sherman and Matt Grill's cards are very similar. Both have tickets on Bryson. Mm-hmm. Both have tickets on Sepp Straka. Both have tickets on Shane Lowry. Both have tickets on Harris English.
I've got three of those four. I do not have Substraka, but I've got the rest. I think, you know, when you watch this week after week after week, you get a good feel for who's playing well and who's going to play well on tough courses. And a lot of times odds makers and golf handicappers think the same way. Doesn't mean it's going to pay off, but hopefully it does this week. I mean, I'm not on Substraka, but I think a lot of people like Bryson DeChambeau. That's pretty obvious. And when you get down to it, Harris English and Shane Lowry are a couple guys that I think present a lot of value at long odds.
All right, let's get to what's happening across Major League Baseball. I mentioned it going to break earlier in the show. We had Adam Burke on. He also wrote about it over at vsin.com. He liked over 2.5 runs for the New York Yankees in the first five. Well, it helps when Aaron Judge hits a 469-foot homer in the first inning, and they got another homer, Matt, in the top of the fourth inning. So the Yankees now lead 5-1. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is over 2.5. The other homer coming courtesy of Austin Wells. Opposite field shot from Austin Wells. And it Oppo?
No.
He's a lefty. I saw it out of the corner of my eye.
He's a lefty. He got under it, got it up in the wind, up in the breeze, and it just got out over the right field fence. But Austin Wells, left-handed power hitter, hits a three-run homer, put the Yankees up 5-1 there. And Adam Burke handicapped it well. He's talking about the Yankees were probably going to get to Noah Cameron tonight, maybe hit a couple long balls, and he got them from Aaron Judge and Austin Wells, and he got a 5-1 lead right now for the Yanks. And he got that first five over, right?
First five over, yeah. So that is already cash there for Adam Burke as one of his best bets. Mackenzie Gore has yet to get to the magic number of 7, which is what you're looking for in his strikeout prop. He does have 6 strikeouts so far. The Nationals, though, cashed the first 5 as they got a couple of home runs as well. They got one from Nathaniel Lowe, and they got another from C.J. Abrams. C.J. Abrams having quite a solid performance today for the Nationals. 3-for-3 with a double and a homer here tonight. And the matchup there that we were anticipating, I believe we got Juan Soto against Mackenzie Gore. In the first inning, Matt, Juan Soto struck out against Mackenzie Gore, and then in the third inning, that was the opposite field home run I was thinking of. It was Juan Soto who went deep to right field, and he just grounded out to second. Juan Soto did, so he is 1-for-3 against Mackenzie Gore, who he was traded for, and C.J. Abrams was also in that trade, as well as James Wood and Robert Hassel III, all of which starting tonight for the Washington Nationals as the San Diego Padres pretty much help rebuild the franchise there on the fly for the Nats. Cubs up 5-4, Matt, on the Phillies in a pretty good one. Bottom of the 6th. The Reds trying to close off the Cleveland Guardians. Bottom of the 9th inning in Cleveland. 1-0 the score in the bottom of the 9th inning there as the Reds trying to make it 5 in a row.
How about Andrew Abbott?
Yeah.
He is 97 pitches. He's trying to go the distance here and finish off the Guardians in the 9th. The previous start for Abbott, I bet him he got rocked. I've been betting Abbott pretty consistently, but I passed on him today, and look at this. He might go, he's run a 3-0 count here. He's getting up around 100 pitches. Do you think Tito Francona is going to come out with the hook here at 100 pitches? If he walks the lead, he's got a runner on first. And he could have runners on first and second with no outs. So Reds are on the brink of actually blowing the game.
Yeah, I would imagine Tito would go to the pen here if needed, especially with the gentleman waiting on deck being Jose Ramirez and his 333 batting average and 12 homers. So I would think that the Reds would probably pull the cord on Abbott here if need be, as the has facing a full count as his pitch count is nearing 100 there in the bottom of the 9th inning. But a heck of a performance from Cincinnati's Andrew Abbott. The Reds above 500 thanks to this 4-game winning streak. They swept the Diamondbacks over the weekend and won yesterday in Cleveland 7-4. So we'll keep our eyes on that one as it unfolds. The Braves, Matt, finally snapped their long losing streak last night. They were up at 7 straight losses. The Atlanta Braves, it's been a disastrous season so far for the Braves. Started 0-7 with that West Coast swing against the Dodgers and the Padres. They beat the Brewers last night 7-1, but right now the Brewers do lead the Atlanta Braves 2-0. That one in the bottom of the 4th inning.
Wow. As Abbott gets a double play ball.
Wow.
Battled back from a 3-0 to a 3-2 count, and he got a double play away grounder to short, and now the Reds are one out away from beating the Guardians in Cleveland, 1-0. How about that? Abbott, I think, is about 101 pitches.
You let him finish it here?
Of course you do.
Jose Ramirez steps up.
That was the key batter right there. He got the double play. Now you let him finish the game.
Yeah, so the turn of Ellie De La Cruz starting it there at short. So one out, and Andrew Abbott will stay on the hill. We have not seen many complete game shutouts this year, man. I know Tarek Skubal had one, what, last weekend, I want to say?
I would say maybe, what, three the entire season?
Well, look it up. Complete game shutouts. Yeah, there are few and far between in 2025.
Abbott's a pitcher for the Reds. I bet on a lot. I lost with him last time out against the Brewers. He gave up 5 runs in 6 innings, but his previous starts, he went 7 innings against the Cubs, no runs. 5 2/3 against the Cubs, 1 run. 5 against the Guardians, no runs. 6 against the White Sox, 1 run. He'd been really good until his previous start against Milwaukee, and now he's great tonight. He's got an 0-2 count. And that's a foul pop-up. I think Ramirez is still alive here with 0-2. Abbott now 105 pitches.
Elsewhere around the major leagues tonight, the Boston Red Sox, after last night's wacky one there at Fenway Park, we were watching that in studio where we saw Roman Anthony's debut come up on the wrong side of things there.
Ramirez gets a hit.
Now what do you do, Matt? You're 106.
I give him one more batter. Give him one more. Try to close it out.
But last night it was a 10-8 Rays win. The Rays scored a run in the ninth. The Red Sox countered with 2 to force extras. They each scored a run the 10th, and the Rays won that in 11 innings. Right now, much more typical game. 2-1 is the score right now. Boston leading the Tampa Bay Rays, Matt. That one in the bottom of the sixth inning. You mentioned Lucas Giolito actually pitching well tonight, which is a bit of a shock. He has gone 6 innings. He's allowed just 1 run. It wasn't earned on 3 hits. He's walked 3 and struck out 4. So by far, I would imagine, Matt, the best start of the season for Lucas Giolito. Funny how baseball works. Last time out, Matt, against the Angels, he lasted just 1 2/3. He gave up 7 runs on 8 hits.
I watched it. It couldn't have been any worse. That's why I said going into tonight, Giolito's been garbage. Takes a lot of courage to bet on him. I can't believe how bad he was in that start against the Angels. And he comes out tonight. The Rays have been hot offensively, and Giolito looks great. So that's handicapping baseball for you. He was so bad in that start against the Angels. I don't know how anyone could bet on him today. Look, now he comes out and he's got the Red Sox in position to win a game. Abbott got another 0-2 count here. By the way, Ramirez got that single up the middle. That continued his 10-game hit streak. He's got a 36-game on-base streak. And Abbott now with facing Santana with a runner on first. Reds up 1-0, 2 outs, bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, we will see. Before this at-bat, the Reds were minus 3,400. If you thought the Guardians would get it on the board, they were around 10-1 to win this game, Matt. So we'll see against Santana if he's able to get out of it.
Uh-oh.
And, boy, that's your ball game in a good way.
Whoa, fly out to the wall. The way the left fielder looked up, I thought that ball was headed into the stands. He catches it at the warning track. And how about that, man? If you bet on the Reds right there, your heart stopped. Ooh. You thought that ball was headed for the left field bleachers. Andrew Abbott's first career complete game and shutout. And, Tim, you were sweating it out there with the last couple batters.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Reds now 35-33. My one preseason win total bet was the Reds over 78.5 wins. That was
that might be the win that puts you over the top.
Maybe. We got a little bit of a ways to go. 35-33 now.
The Reds have a lot of momentum right now, and you got to keep it going. Baseball is a game of streaks, and these teams get on hot streaks, and the Reds are on one. Right now, I'm telling you, when the left fielder looked up, I thought that ball was headed into the stands.
Once again, to give you a little inside baseball, as we sit here, we've got a light in front of us. So it looked like the way the trajectory of the ball off the bat, we're like, oh, boy, here you go. Yeah. Got to hit a homer here, but not the case. A complete game shutout. The Guardians fall to the Reds, 1-0. Fun one there.
Love to see it too, Tim. It's like old school baseball. We actually had a guy go out and throw a complete game shutout tonight. That doesn't happen very often.
And Terry Francona, give him credit. Yeah. He kept him out there, Matt. Gives up a base hit there, and he lets Andrew Abbott finish it out. His final line, 9 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Impressive there for Andrew.
What do you go about, 110
pitches? Yeah. Lowering his ERA to $1.87. Hey, folks, just a reminder, over at vsin.com, we've got those exclusive betting splits, both from DraftKings and Circa. If you're looking to fade the public, you can check it out there, vsin.com/subscribe. You can become a VSIN Pro subscriber for as little as $9.99 in your first month.